We will now read from the inspired and inerrant Word of God, as we find it in the book of Habakkuk. Now, if you have the same Bible as I have, that's page 861. If not, it's best to go to the end of the Old Testament and count three, four books back and come to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, down to the end of chapter 3. Verse 2, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Ye also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlarged his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathers unto him all nation, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long unto him that leads himself with thick clay? Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his net on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and stableth a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labour in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves from very vanity. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbour drink, and putteth thyself thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on thy nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory, drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts, which made them afraid, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. What profit is the graven image that the maker thereof has graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make them idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise. It shall teach, behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is the holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shig-Enoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy, and so on. Amen. May the Lord bless to us reading his own holy word, and open our eyes, that we may behold his glory in his own word. To wait on the Lord just now for a few minutes, friends, we'll go back to the portion we have read in the book of Habakkuk, and at chapter 3, verse 2, we read the following words: O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. The name Habakkuk means love's embrace, and that was the name of this one of the minor prophets, as we call them. He was not minor in status to other prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. He is just so that the minor prophets, we have less recorded for us of their prophecies. So we call Zephaniah and Zechariah, Amos and Joel and so on, with Habakkuk the minor prophets. Now we see that Habakkuk was a prophet at a very difficult time. He was a prophet during the last part of Jeremiah's reign, and he was also during the reign of Manasseh. You'll remember that fearful king of Judah, Manasseh, and it was said that the streets of Jerusalem, that they were running with the blood of the saints. But there is a wonderful entry in the Bible about Manasseh, and a wonderful entry in the biography of everyone who found the Lord. It simply says, then Manasseh knew that God was the Lord. Then we find a different Manasseh indeed reigning. But we see that as well as what was going on in what was left of Israel and Judah, this was a time when the Babylonians had come, and they had taken the best of the 10 tribes in the northern kingdom in Israel. They had taken them into captivity Babylon, and now the Chaldeans were about to come, and they were going to take the people of Judah and Benjamin, who identified with them, into captivity. Zechariah paints a very depressing picture of what was left in Israel and in Judea. For it says that those who were left were a poor and afflicted people. The only the lame and the ill people, your people, and those who are not of any value, not to do any work for those who brought them captive, were left behind. But nevertheless, Habakkuk, who wrote this prophecy, he wrote about enduring faith and also about God, that God is just and that God is still in control. A very suitable book for us to read in our own situation at the present time. We may be tempted to think that God is not in control. We may be tempted to ask, as they did in the days of David, where is their God now gone? But we can answer, friends, our God is in the heavens. What pleased him, he is done. Let there not be a doubt in the mind of any of us. God is in charge in 2018, and he is there to remain in charge, for the government is on the shoulders of Christ, and he will either permit or cause whatever is to be done in this world. Now we see that Habakkuk saw himself as a person on a watchtower. That was a situation that was well known to them in Israel. They used watchtowers for their defense and for their shepherding exercises and so on. Now, the sentries that were placed on the watch tower, some would be facing north, some would be facing south, some would be facing east, and some would be facing west. Each seeing things according to their own place, and seeing things from a different perspective. The person who was facing north would have a different view to the person facing south. So there would be some fellowship between them and putting their heads together as to what they were seeing on the watchtower. And it's a pity, friend, that the church in our own day couldn't get its head around this very difficult point, because what ought to be a cause of fellowship and union between us is a cause of dissent and a cause of fragmenting the church of God. Now, this is not only in Scotland at the present time. I was reading an article in the Evangelical Times not so long ago, a short article by an American, and he was saying something like that 10 years ago there were three evangelical churches within a few minutes' drive of his home. But now there are 7 or 8, and every one of them half empty, because the congregations have divided up, because people fail. And it's in us all, friend, whether we're in pulpit or pew, this is a failing we all have, that we fail to see things in a different perspective to what we are seeing ourselves. There are some cardinal and basic doctrines in the Word of God, and they are essential to salvation, but there are others, and they may be viewed in a different way. Don't let us make that of God, but let us serve our God according to the vision he has given us and go according to our conscience. Now we see that in similar situations, we find here Habakkuk, and in the verse particularly before us, he has two things, and I would like just to offer a few comments on them. The first is a testimony. He is saying, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. That was his testimony. Then he turned to prayer, and the prayer was, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Now remember the mercy. Now we have come across this situation before in the history of the world. Remember, now Adam, when he was there in Eden, and he heard the voice of God in the garden, and he said to the Lord that he was afraid. There was nothing ruling in Eden, friend, after man's sin, but fear. The garden was still there, and so on, but something new had come in. Because of sin, fear. And I feel, friends, that this is coming very much into our own society everywhere. I remember in our younger days, we would be going on holiday to France. We went there almost every year. And I remember how happy and jovial we were on the boat with others going on holiday with us. We were so carefree and we were so relaxed. But in recent years, it was not so. You could feel the tension. We could not guarantee. But there was a bomb on board the boat. We were now in the time of terrorists, and that fear is in so many forums in our society. We know people who live on their own, and in the winter they lock the door at 4 o'clock, and they will not for fear open the door until the morning again. What has happened, friends, is that we have moved away from the cross. The darkest hour in the world's history, by far, has passed. The darkest hour that ever dawned this world was that time after man sinned until God came with the first promise. There was nothing in this world but fear. Thankfully, friend, that time is over in an absolute sense. Because now we have the promise of our Redeemer. And we have now Jesus, the Son of God, as our Redeemer. But how dark that time was, when there was nothing but fear. And the more we move away from the cross, friends, the more we find that the fear etching in. But what is the remedy? Well, God had the remedy for the situation in Eden. He came with a promise. Now, I would like just to go Crofter's time and just wait a wee bit with this promise. It's a wonderful promise because God was not there addressing Adam. God was addressing Satan because of his place in causing man to sin. The place God gave to Adam in relation to the first promise that was given, friends, praise his name, is the place he's giving you today. Adam was in a place of listening. Now I like this very much in my own native language, because when I was young, if people were in a service, it was often referred to as the place of listening. For the Gaelic speaker, in Yeshiot, you know. And that was the place God gave Adam. That is the place God is giving you today. So the remedy is still with us, and God is still favoring us, even as Habakkuk could speak about God being still in control and about God being a just God. We can speak of a merciful God. The day we live in may be dark, and we may indeed be overshadowed with that darkness, but there is a great tale to be told. There's a Saviour, and that Saviour is going to conquer the entire world by the spirit of meekness. The Lord is going to overpower the whole earth. We're promised in the Bible that the days will come when the glory of God will fill all lands as the waters cover the face of the deep. And how covering, friend, face of the deep is when the tide is in. How beautiful the Loch Lear at Tarbert is when the tide is in. I remember when I was here previously with you as a locum before your minister came. One morning there was a full tide. There wasn't a ripple on the water. And I was looking out the man's window, and the sea was cold with a fringe round it. The sun was shining on it. One of the most beautiful sights I ever saw. And oh, how golden indeed this world will be when the glory of God will fill all lands as the waters cover the face of the deep. Now the Lord is going to bring that about, friend. Not by bombs, not by power, not by aggression, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And the Lord can do good work in this earth. In the meantime, we have this, friend. We have a place of listening. Now, Adam was afraid, and because he knew, his conscience told him that he had sinned, and God was coming, and what was there for him but fear? Ah, yes, there was the first promise to throw his lot in with the first promise. Now, here, Habakkuk, that reading that chapter, it is a very depressing chapter. It is a fearful chapter, the second chapter of Habakkuk. But nevertheless, there was a remedy. The man on the watchtower, Habakkuk, knew of a remedy. He knew where to turn. And where did he turn? He turned to prayer. Now, what did he say? What is the remedy for the situation in our own land to revive? Revive your work in the midst of the year. In the midst of the year, make it know. And we had here on the island a remarkable revival way back in 1948. And I was a very young boy then. And I remember buses coming from Bar was late at night, and now it helps in Finsby near the bottom of a very long brae, and the bus would come, and the driver would engage low gear, and it would roll up, and the young Wallace buses could roll and they went up the hill, but they couldn't roar enough to drown the voices of those who were singing the praises of the Lord. That was what was above every other noise. That impressed me as a young boy. It's impressed me as an old man in dwellings of the righteous is heard the melody of joy and health. This is what Habakkuk was aiming at in his day, that the Lord would revive and quicken the cause of Christ, albeit that the church was in bondage. They were there in Babylon. But even in Babylon, the Lord was raising up remarkable people. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, what wonderful young men they were. And they were raised up in a time of adversity and poverty in the church. Well, we said before that to ourselves personally, God is the same Lord still, and he is the same friend nationally too. Well, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Yes, the bondage is not over yet, but nevertheless, the Lord could revive the church even in Babylon, and even in that fearful state, the Lord could come and could reach out to those who wanted to sing the Lord's song in a foreign land. Let us remember, even in Babylon, Psalm, is it 127 or 137, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? By, friend, looking unto Jesus. That's how. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, in the midst of the years, yea, trying days, that may continue, but in the midst of the years, revive your cause. That is what we need, friends, personally, and that's what we need nationally, that the Lord would come to us in the power of his Spirit. But don't let us forget, as Habakkuk did not forget, that in our day we have a lot to go by. Now there's a lot, friend, to be said, but I best stop what you'll be saying of me, like a father who brought his son to the church for the first time, and the son was full of questions. He pointed to the pulpit and asked his father, what is that? And his father patiently told him, that is where the speaker is going to speak from. Then he pointed to the communion table, and the father told him how the elements of the sacrament would be placed on the table. And he pointed to the font the baptismal font that and the father told him about the baptismal font, and how water was put in and used for baptism. And when the minister got up to preach, he very demonstratively took off his watch and he laid it down in front of him. And the wee boy said to his dad, "What does that mean?" His dad smiled and said, "It means nothing at all, son." he knew that the minister was going to continue. He came to the end of his sermon. But such, friends, is the text before us here, when we come to think that God can remember mercy in wrath. Why? Because he remembered his own son with the wrath that we deserved in wrath. Remember mercy. May the Lord bless each and every one of you, and may indeed the reviving power of God be evident in your lives and experience in the days ahead. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with you always. Amen.